You know that? We don't quite understand fully many things. But there's coming a day, church, when we'll understand it better by and by. Hymn 31, let's stand for our final hymn this morning. We'll sing the first and last. Oh, yes, indeed. When morning comes, glory to God. Love the words of this old hymn of the faith. Sing it to the Lord. Every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow where we die. We will understand it better by and by. Everybody, by and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of work are headed home. We will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. On the third, patience written prayers on the tables and the wares, and the hearts all made to bleed for each thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Are you ready now? By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. One more time. By and by, when the morning comes, with the saints of God all gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Better by and by. Woo! Glory to God! Almost dancing the aisles there. Oh, it's so good to be saved, beloved. I tell you, there's nothing like Jesus in this world. Glory to God. We'll sing again after, but let's grab our Bibles this morning, church, and open up to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 this morning. Sitting up last night, preparing this morning's message, just thinking about all of the souls coming to the Lord on this particular day around the world. What a blessing that is, amen? Yeah. To know that the gospel is being preached and that many are hearing and believing and receiving Jesus Christ. It's just such a precious time of the year, Resurrection Sunday. We call it around here. And beloved, as we come to Matthew 28 this morning, I want you to know that chapter 28 here is the only reason we're here this morning. Amen? Chapter 28. If it wasn't for chapter 28, there would be no church. If it wasn't for chapter 28, there'd be no Savior. If there wasn't for chapter 28, there'd be no Christianity whatsoever. But glory to God, I'm so glad that He got up on that third and glorious day. I'm so glad that there is a gospel to be preached. There is a Savior that died and rose again for us. Amen? Glory to God. Come on in, sister. Praise the Lord for you. And look with me here as we... Let's stand and we'll begin to read here in Matthew 28 in verse number 1. In Matthew 28 in verse number 1. Notice what the apostle records by the Holy Spirit here in the end of the Sabbath. How many of you know the Sabbath is ended? In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Amen? Jesus was not a Seventh-day Adventist. Or the first day of the week. That's why we're here on Sunday, beloved. Glory to God. We honor the resurrection of our Savior by meeting on Sunday, as He did with the first disciples in the first century church. Look what He says. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Amen? Drop down with me to verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, see, they didn't find Jesus in the tomb. He's gone. Amen? I'm so glad they didn't find any bones in there. I'm so glad that he rose. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Glory to God. I want to call your attention this morning, church, to verse number 9 for my text. The Bible says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. All hail. All hail. I want to preach a message this morning I've entitled, all hail. All hail. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these incredible words in red. Lord, how we thank you for the far-reaching implication of these two little words. And Lord, how I thank you that 2,000 years after the fact, you're calling men and women today, and boys and girls, all hail, all hail. Lord, I thank you for the message you've given me. I ask you to put me behind the cross and let your Holy Spirit work now in the hearts of your people. And Father, let Jesus be glorified through this text and give us understanding, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. It's Sunday morning in Jerusalem. The year is 30 AD. I want to get you the picture of what's happening. It's the third day since the Passover lamb was slain, and is also the third day since the founder of Christianity was put to death by execution, by a crucifixion. The disciples are grieving as they lost their spiritual leader, their master. But suddenly, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary come to the apostles with great news. Amen? Jesus is alive. He is risen. And during this time, beloved, something incredible takes place in verse 9. Look with me here in our text in verse 9. It says, and as they went to tell his disciples, to tell them that he's risen from the dead, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet. And that's a good thing to do. And worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Glory to God. It's a personal encounter with a living, risen, walking, and talking Savior, the Son of God. And I want us this morning, beloved, to hear these solemn words where Jesus says in verse 9, all hail. That is, all listen, all pay attention, all hear what I'm about to say to my followers. And I believe the key this morning, beloved, to unlocking these two verses lies in verse 9. Look what it says in verse 9 as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Jesus met them. Amen? Jesus met them. Listen, folks. Jesus met them on purpose. It was no coincidence. Amen? He planned it, and he met them with a purpose. So let's observe just how Jesus met them here this morning in our text. How did he meet them? First, he met them in the way of service. Amen? Look with me here in verse number 9. In verse number 9, look at these words. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. How did he meet them? He met them as they were in the way of service. How many of you all hear the expression, you know, you've got to jump on a moving train if you want to get somewhere? Right? Right? Isn't that true? Well, Jesus wants to jump on your train as we serve him. Are you listening? If you're going to sit idle, if you're going to be placed on a shelf and gather dust, God will not use you, church. You've got to be busy for about your Father's business. Jesus met them first in the way of service. It was as they went according to his orders. You see that? It was as they went according to their duty. It was as they went according to their service to the master. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, he says, go quickly. He's giving them instructions. Amen? Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. This is the angel of the Lord speaking to Mary and Mary. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they what?
Departed.
What's our next word?
Quickly.
Quickly. Quickly. Did you see that? The Bible says in verse 8, and they departed quickly. You know how you've got to serve him? You got to do it quickly, church. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, it's a serious message. Time is running out. If you're going to ever serve God, you best do it today. We don't know if we have tomorrow. But I'm going to stir you up and get you going for Jesus Christ. Amen? As your pastor. Look at verse number 8. And as they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, there's great joy in serving him, and did run to tell, to bring his disciples word. I like that. I like verse 8. They not only went quickly, they ran. They said, Master, what wouldst thou have us to do? And they did it quickly. Folks, you need to buckle your spiritual seatbelt in these last days. Believers are falling like dominoes. They're quitting on God. They're quitting church. They're quitting tithing. They're quitting serving God. And I like the fact that here in our text, it is absolutely clear that Jesus met them in the way of service. Did you know that when you serve Jesus, he's going to hold you by the hand? He's going to show you things that he won't show the average Joe that refuses to serve him. Did you know that? It's true. Why? Because he wants to meet you in a way of service. Beloved, listen now. Jesus is going to manifest himself to you and me when we are busily doing his work. Why? It's because then we are most focused upon him and his glory. It's because then we are most feeling our special need of him. It's because then we are most in accord and unity with his spirit. Look at verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. You see that? He met them as they were serving the king. He met them as they were obeying his orders. He met them as they were doing as he instructed them to do. Jesus is going to meet you, beloved. I got good news this morning. As you serve him through this church, you're going to have meetings with Jesus. I'm talking one-on-ones. I'm talking intimacy. I'm talking special revelation from the king to you. Why? Because you're serving him. Because you're serving him. Amen? He meets you in the way of service. Now, let me ask you a question this morning, church. Does Jesus Christ meet with you? I mean, do you have regular prayer meetings with the king? Do you have regular one-on-one time with him? Do you have... Listen, sometimes we need to put the spouse out, shut the closet door, the prayer closet, and get along with Jesus. Amen? Shut the television off. Hello? And get along with Jesus. Put the newspaper down and get along with Jesus. Glory to God. He wants to. I mean, do you have that special one-on-one personal meetings with the Lord? I like that. Look at verse 9. Jesus met them. Jesus met them. Jesus wants to meet with you. I'm not talking about Sunday morning in church. It's great being here. I love being here. I tell you all the time, I'd be here every day if you'd come and listen to me. But I'm not talking about in church. I'm talking about you and him. I'm talking about you and him in your daily walk, in your daily life. You need to meet with him. Go with me to Acts chapter 18 and hold your place in Matthew 28. Acts chapter 18. Let me show you a man that met with Jesus and accomplished much. Amen? His name is Paul. Look here in Acts chapter 18. Don't miss this. In Acts chapter 18. We won't be long this morning, but there is a message. In Acts 18, look at verse number 5. Paul is at Corinth. Amen? And guess who's there with him? Jesus is with him. Amen? Look at it, verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. Sometimes you're going to be pressed in spirit, folks, to tell someone about Jesus. And he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He couldn't contain himself. He had to let it out. And look at Verse number 6. And when they oppose themselves, as most people in the world today, they oppose themselves. They're taken captive by the devil at his will, right? And he opposed themselves and blasphemed. We've got a bunch of blasphemers today. And he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Uh-oh. He just said a dirty word. Those Jews hated that name, Gentile. They thought they considered us dogs, unclean, unworthy. And it was true. Gentiles had no, unless they be proselytized to Judaism, they had no contact with God. But look, drop down with me to verse 9. Look at this. Then spake the Lord. Who spoke to Paul? The Lord. To Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Why, Jesus? For I am with thee. You see that? What's Paul doing in Corinth? Is he serving God? Yep. Do you see that in verse 10? Jesus says, Paul, as you're serving me, guess what? I am with you. As Marion's driving her limo down the road and she's got a bunch of parties in the back that she can't control, the Lord is with her. As Kyle's down there driving that school bus and you got a bus full of screaming kids, the Lord is with him. Amen. Glory to God. I am so glad this morning that look at verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Glory to God. Look at verse 11. And he, Paul, continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Why? Because he was serving the king, and the king was with him. He met with him while he was serving him in Corinth. He's going to meet with you, beloved, while you serve him. You know what we've got today? We've got a bunch of Sunday morning sleepers. Oh, they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. They've received the grace of God. They even carry a King James Bible. But where are they on Sunday morning at 10:30? What's the deal? You know what? Listen, you've got to commit to serving Jesus. It's not going to happen by accident. Amen? Folks, I'm asking you in these last days, I can't do this alone. We need to be committed to serving him. We want to see the church grow. We want to see souls saved. We want to see the Lord glorified. Now, if you're working, we know that. Hey, I work full time. You know that. We all got work schedules. That's a different story. But I mean, if you're going bowling or fishing or golfing instead of being in God's house, there's something wrong with that picture. Amen. We need to be serving the King and make it a priority. One time, a Sunday school teacher asked the class, who can tell me what a yoke is? A little 5-year-old girl stood up and said, it's something they put on the necks of animals. Okay, said the teacher, so what is the meaning of Jesus' yoke? The little girl paused and thought for a moment, then said, well, that's when Jesus puts his arms around our necks. Beloved, she was right. When we serve our wonderful Savior, mark it down, he meets with us and wraps his loving arms around us and goes every step of the way with us. Why? Because he meets with you when you're serving him. Glory to God. My prayer, my biggest fear in life is that he never put Bob Oliver on a shelf and let him gather dust. Right. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I want to serve him till I take my final breath. Amen? What greater epitaph could you have on your tombstone? He or she served the Lord. So-and-so served the Lord. David was a servant of the Lord. Moses was a servant of the Lord. I love it. I want to be a servant of the Lord. I don't know about you. And as we serve him, he meets with us. But something else I want you to see from our text this morning, back in Matthew 28, look at verse number 9. He not only met them in the way of service, he met them with a word of encouragement. Amen? He met them with a word of encouragement. Look at verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. All hail. I love the message of encouragement that Jesus gives them. All hail. Beloved, in order for us to fully grasp what this short phrase actually means, we need to examine the Old English and the Old Koine Greek. The word for hail is not the word used for hail falling from the sky. It's not talking about those pellets that come down. Listen, the word is chariho. Chariho in the Greek. It's where the Old English gets the word cheerio. Cheerio! You know what that means? It means be of good cheer. That's what it means. That's what the word means. Jesus is telling his disciples, be of good cheer. Cheer up. Folks, I don't know about you. I know, I come across people every day in my Christian life that are down in the dumps, they're depressed, they need medication, and I'm telling them, cheer up. Jesus loves you. Right. Cheer up. Jesus is coming back. Cheer up. All hail. Listen, folks, we need to be of good cheer because Jesus says to. Jesus says to. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? You know what the devil wants to rob you of? Your joy. The joy that Jesus gives you, he wants to strip it from you so you'll be ineffective. I don't know about you, but I want to rejoice. I want to rejoice because he's my Lord, he's my Savior, I'm going to heaven. I got something to rejoice about. He's telling them it's a word. Listen, all hail is a word of salvation. He welcomes us to sup with him. It's a word of salutation. Amen. It's a word of benediction. He wishes us well. It's a word of gratulation. He was glad to see his servants. It's a word of inspiration. He inspires us to take courage as we serve him. He met them with a word of encouragement, beloved. Look at verse 16. Look at this. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. That's what Jesus told them to do, right? Look at it. Into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. You know what happens when you do what Jesus tells you to do? Look at verse 17. And when they saw him, they what? They worshipped him. But some doubted, Thomas. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, here's a word of encouragement. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What a word of encouragement. Folks, listen to me. Jesus, nobody's going to encourage you like Jesus. You know? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, personally, that's going to put his loving arms around your neck when you're hurting, and he's going to encourage you, and he's going to lift you up. I guarantee it. I guarantee it, church. You know what you need? You need encouragement. How do I know that? Oh, that'd be because I do. Amen? You're not the only one that needs encouragement. You know? Every single one of us have disappointments in our lives. People let you down, don't they? But guess what? Jesus doesn't let us down. Jesus is there to lift us up. Jesus is there to speak a word fitly spoken. Amen. And he cheers you up. And he encourages you to keep on going. Don't quit. In 1865, on March the 4th, Abraham Lincoln, my favorite president, you know that, gave his second inaugural address to this great nation just after the end of the Civil War. The day was cold, drizzly, and dark. But as President Lincoln approached the platform, the clouds dispersed as the sun broke through the gray skies, and Lincoln gave the shortest but most encouraging speech America ever heard. This address was just 73 words, is forever engraved on the walls of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Listen, I quote, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for them who shall have borne the battle, and for the widows and the orphans, to do all which may achieve a just and lasting peace amongst ourselves and with all nations. May God bless America." Wow! What a speech! What a man of God he was! You know what we need in the White House today? A man of God like Abraham Lincoln that will stand on that book and not care what the Arabs say. Amen? Oh, folks, we need to get back to the roots of our foundation, which was founded upon that holy book and Christianity. Glory to God. I am so thankful for the words. And they were words of encouragement to a nation that had just come out of a civil war and they needed encouragement. Abraham Lincoln gave it to them. Amen? Jesus met them in the way of service. Jesus met them with a word of encouragement. Thirdly, Jesus met them in a way of expectation. Don't miss this back in chapter 28. Matthew 28, look with me at verse 9. He met them in a way of expectation. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they what? Ran the other way? Nope. They came to him. Amen? They came to him. Glory to God. He expected them, and they worshiped him, by the way. And he expected them to react in a certain way when he showed up. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. You know what? Jesus comes to us in a way of expectation, church. There are certain things that he expects from you and me. Glory to God. Listen now. How about if Jesus was to show up and everybody just sat there, oh, he walks in the door and he sits in the bed, I got a roast in the oven, preacher, come on. Hey! Jesus is in the house! And he expects certain things from us, church. When the creator of the universe shows up to meet with you or I, he expects certain responses from us. Let me suggest three this morning. First, from our text, he expects us to come to him and not run the other way. Look at verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came. And what? Held him. Held him by the feet. Folks, listen to me.
Was he suspended?
When Jesus came, just a second. When Jesus came to them, he met them in a way. Lost my train of thought, sister. When Jesus came to them, they came to him. Amen? Glory to God. In eager haste, they came and drew near to Jesus. In earnest anticipation, they came to see what the Master wanted to say. Amen? Listen, church, I want you to know this morning that Jesus expects us to come to him with open ears when he shows up. Amen? I'm so glad for you all who come to church expecting to hear from God. You expect to hear divine instructions and then to apply them to your lives. Amen? That's what this is. We're not playing church. I'm so glad of that. And Jesus shows up and he expects a certain reaction. First one he expects is for us to come to him. You know what? Too many believers today are too busy with other things. They're too distracted to come to him. And that ought not to be. Secondly, he expects us not only to come to him, he expects us to cleave unto him. Amen? Look at verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and what?
Held
him by the feet. Oh, I love the picture. I love the picture. Because Jesus comes into amongst them, and they all lunge at his feet, and they grab him by the ankles. Amen? And it's not kissing his feet. Oh, I love that. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of cleaving to Jesus. That's a picture of grabbing hold of Jesus and saying, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting anything between me and Jesus. I'm holding on. Amen? But more importantly this morning, beloved, he's holding on to you. He's holding on to you. You know what that demands? That demands he expects us to hold on to him. Glory to God. A lot of Christians are letting go of Jesus and getting involved in other things. Beloved, listen carefully. If you or I have any intention whatsoever of continuing on in our Christian walk of faith and service to the King, then we must be willing to live moment by moment, day after day, week after week, cleaving onto him. Jesus is the only one that has the strength and grace that you need to serve him. And if you let go and you don't appropriate that grace daily, you won't be serving him very long. Oh, how we need to hang on. That's because we can't do it without him. We need him. We sing, I need thee every hour, O Holy One. Temptations lose their power when thou art not. You know the words. You know the song I'm talking about. We need him. Amen? And we need him every hour, every moment. Thirdly, he expects us to fall before him in adoration and worship. Look at verse number 9. Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and what?
Worshipped
him. Oh, beloved. I want to make a statement. There's only two types of people in this world. There are those who worship Jesus Christ and love him supremely, and those who don't. Period. There is no neutral ground. Well, you know, I'm thinking about coming to Jesus. You better do it quick because he's coming back. Amen?
Right.
Those who worship Jesus and those who don't. There's no gray area in this truth. Listen now. He expects us to fall before him in adoration and praise. Let me ask you a question, church, today. Do you worship the King? I mean, I'm not talking about Sunday morning. It's awesome to come here and worship the Lord. But do you worship him on your own? You know what we need to do? Get along with Jesus, put in your favorite worship CD, and lift your hands. I'm not talking to make a show. Nobody but you and him. And you worship him. And you, oh boy, what an impact that'll have. You'll come out of that prayer closet dancing and with a jump in your step and a joy and a spring. Amen? Why? Because you've been worshiping the King. Verse 17, look at it. And when they saw him, they what?
Worshipped
him. But some didn't. Notice that? Some will and some won't. I wonder what category you fall into this morning. There is only the two types of people, worshipers of Jesus and worshipers of other gods. Kyle Williams writes about a certain bronze statue of the Redeemer located in Brazil, South America. He noted that the face of Jesus in this statue was so positioned that the only way to look into his eyes is to get down on your knees and look up. I like it. The only way for us to come to him is to get down on our knees and look up and worship him. Amen? He's worthy. Church, there's one message I have for you. He is worthy of your worship. He is worthy of your heart's affection. He is worthy of your time, talent, and treasure. He's worthy, church. He's worthy. Glory to God. All right. We've seen clearly three things. Jesus met them in a way of service. Jesus met them with a word of encouragement. Jesus met them with a way of expectation. But finally, this morning, don't miss this. He met them with divine instructions. Look with me in verse 9 again. He met them with divine instructions. And before we read, let me make a statement. When you come to Jesus, he will always give you marching orders. He will always give you instructions so that you'll know what you need to do for Jesus. Look at verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, they're already doing what Jesus told them to do. You see that in verse 9? And behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." What did Jesus just do in verse 10? He gave them further what? Instructions and orders, right? When you come to Jesus in the way of service, he's going to give you further light on what you ought to do. I love the fact that I have personal divine direction from Jesus in my life. I know where I'm supposed to be at 10:30 on Sunday morning church. I know where I'm supposed to be at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. I know where I'm supposed to be on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I know where I'm supposed to be at the posted times that Jesus gives me. Amen? Listen carefully. Jesus, our Lord and Master, will always give us new marching orders when he finds us already engaged in our Father's business. Amen? You know who those who don't hear from God? Those who grope in the dark and don't know which way to turn and what to do in this situation, and oh, they just blind as a bat. Yeah. Those who don't serve Jesus. Why should he give further orders to somebody who's not doing nothing for him? Right? He won't. Listen carefully, church. You can count on it. You are going to receive divine direction when you labor in the Lord's vineyard. He is going to give you clear. He's going to make you know what you need to do. Listen. He tells them, go, look at verse 10. Go, tell my brethren to go into Galilee, and that there they shall see me. Now, the question today, church, is how many of us are really wanting to receive the Lord's purposes and plans for our lives? You know what the problem is? Too many of God's people don't want to hear what he has to say. They don't want to know his divine will, because they don't want to do it. There's only two types of Christians. I said there's two types of people, worshippers of Jesus and those who don't. There's only two types of believers, those who want to serve Jesus and those who don't. Folks, you're in the minority this morning. You notice there's empty pews here this morning? Yeah. because they don't want to serve God. They're, oh, the spring is here, and weather's pretty nice, maybe we'll go to the mall. No, go to the house of God and worship Him, and then go to the mall. Amen? Listen, folks, He might ask me to go to the mission field. Yeah. Oh, He might ask me to teach a Sunday school class. Yeah. Oh, He might ask me to start tithing. Oh, that's a good thing. They don't want to know. See, I see three particulars in Jesus' instructions to them in closing. First, He instructs them not to fear. Look at verse 10. Jesus saith unto them, what's the next three words?
Be not afraid.
You know what, folks? I talk to Christians all the time, and they are scared senseless over the stupidest things. Yeah. And I'm like, why in the world would that bring fear to your heart? He hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's a demon, by the way. But the spirit, capital S, of power and of love and of a sound mind by the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, you don't have... Let me make a statement, church. Well, I told you I get a little riled up today. You don't have to fear anything. The devil? He's a defeated foe. The flesh? It's crucified with Christ. The world? It's crucified. I'm crucified to the world. Sin? It's defeated, forgotten, and forgiven. You don't have to fear anything. And when you grasp that truth, you'll charge hell with a squirt gun. I mean, he'll be no stopping you. Why? Because Jesus, look at the words in red. Be not afraid. Here is the starting point of serving God. Do not fear what the enemy might throw at you. Don't worry about what so-and-so thinks about it. Listen, beloved, our faith, let me make a statement. Our faith must overcome our fear. Either you're going to trust God, or you're going to, I don't know, I just don't know. You're going to fear. It's what? Fear or faith. Right? Fear of faith. What's the Old Testament word for faith? T-R-U-S-T. Trust. Right? Proverbs 3:5. My favorite. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. He's saying have faith in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Don't fear. Trust. Don't fear. Believe. Faith. Secondly, he instructs them not to fear. Secondly, he instructs them to minister to the believers first. Don't miss this. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell the world. Is that what it says? Kyle's saying, what version you got there, preacher? Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. He says, the first thing I want you guys to do is minister to my brethren. Folks, my number one duty is not to get the lost saved. My number one duty is to you. To minister to you so you can get the lost saved. Amen? I'm not. No man is an army, right? Listen, Jesus said to Peter, do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs, those younger in the Lord. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. You know what? Number one duty for a minister is to the flock that God entrusts them with. Secondarily to the world out there. Secondary. You have priority over the world. You're in God's house this morning. They're not. They're out whooping it up. Listen, folks. Go to my brethren. Minister to the believers first. To my people. To my sheep. Did you know that you have divine priority over the lost? Because you're saved, because you've made that step of loving Jesus and receiving his salvation. It's true. Thirdly, he instructs them that they shall soon see their master. I like this. Look at verse 10. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. He instructs them on a certain truth that they're going to see Jesus soon. Folks, I'm so glad this morning that I can encourage you that you are going to see Jesus soon and very soon. We're going to see the King. I am so glad that Jesus instructs them to go and tell the believers that they are going to see Jesus. Oh, folks, it's so great this morning to know that one day we'll see him face to face. One day we'll behold his nail-scarred hands. One day we'll fall at his feet and embrace him and worship him like these believers did. Beloved, here is the heart and soul of the gospel. Not only that Jesus Christ has made salvation available to all people, but that also he is coming back again. And all shall see him. Did you hear what I said? All shall see him. Listen carefully. Some shall see him in his mercy and pardon and love. But others will see him in his wrath and judgment. Yeah. Oh yeah. All shall see him. What did John the Revelator say in John chapter 1 verse 5? And every eye shall see him. Mark it down, beloved. When he comes back, everyone's going to see him. There's only going to be two types of people. Those who will see him in pardon and love. And those who will see him in wrath and judgment and terror. Whew, that's a frightening message, but it's true. All shall see him. I say unto you today, as a preacher of truth, a proclaimer of what saith the scripture, all hail. All hail. All hail, church. Good news. We can be of good cheer. In closing, let me give you this. Wilkins wrote, "Oh, behold the Savior hanging on the cross, bearing our transgressions, all earth's sin and dross. Great the love that drave him up to Calvary. All may have new life and joy, now and eternally. Oh, behold the Savior, risen from the tomb. Men and demons tremble their eternal doom. Angels sing his praises, saints behold his face. Sinners who repent, believe, receive his glorious grace. Listen, soon we'll hear God's trumpet abounding from the sky. Saints will be raised from slumber, never more to die. We, the living with them, soar to heaven above. There we'll worship him with joy and everlasting love." Oh yeah, Wilkinson was right. There we shall behold him with joy and everlasting love. And I say unto you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, church, all hail. All hail. All hail. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for those two incredible words. All hail. All hail. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Cheerio. Thank you, Lord, for the message of encouragement today. That because you're risen from the dead, we serve a living, coming Savior. Oh, what great blessings await us, Lord. Those of us who love you. Those of us who fall before you and worship you, O King of Kings, thank you today for this church, Lord. I love these people. I love them because they love you. Lord, I love anybody who loves you. And these folks do. That's why they're in the house of God this morning, to worship the King and to proclaim his resurrection from the dead. Lord, because you rose, we will rise. The Sadducees were wrong. They didn't believe in a literal resurrection. But, oh Lord, we do. We know. We know we will rise because we know our Savior rose for us. We love you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for this resurrection service today. We look forward to the food and fellowship to follow. But more importantly than that, Lord, we are so thrilled that we know that souls all over this world are coming to the Savior, learning of his great saving love, and receiving the forgiveness of sins through that precious blood. We thank you and rejoice in that truth, Lord. And as I look around this morning, Lord, I see that every one of your children, every one of the members of the church that are here this morning are saved. I thank you so much for that, Lord. These folks have already reached out to you in truth and received the saving grace of God, the eternal life, the new birth that Jesus Christ gives. I am so grateful for that, Lord. I'm preaching to save people here. But Lord, I pray for those who don't yet know you. I pray for those who might hear the sound of my voice in this message from the website. Lord, I pray that they would make that decision to come to Jesus Christ before it's too late. Oh Lord, there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. There is a devil to run from and a Savior to run to. Oh yes, indeed, there is real evil and there is genuine good. And I thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ hath come and shown us the light. He hath revealed the Father to us. He hath delivered the faith once to the saints. Lord, we love you today and we thank you for these truths. But above all, we thank you for rising from the dead on that third and glorious day. In Jesus Christ's name, we praise you. And the people said, Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, people. Let's stand at this time. Grab your hymnals. Let's sing one in closing. And open up your hymnals this morning, beloved, to hymn number 10. Here's what we need to do. As we serve the King, we need to lean on His everlasting arms. Amen. So important that we do that daily, leaning on those everlasting arms. There's no safer place to be than in His arms. Amen. When you're in the arms of Jesus, you're going to be okay. Glory to God. And hymn number 10, we'll sing all three. Glory to God. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lord.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet the bed grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Everybody!
Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarm. We're leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. And the third, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Everybody!
Leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Good singing this morning, church. Thank you for being in God's house. You are truly an encouragement to me. Oh boy, I tell you. Praise the Lord. We're going to ask Brother Kyle if you could dismiss us in prayer and pray for the food, the goodies we're about to receive, and the fellowship. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you once again for the opportunity we've had to assemble in your name, Lord.
Mm.
Give you the worship and praise. All that we have, all that we do, and all that we can do, Lord.
Mm.
We know without you we'd be stumbling blindly through this world and making a lot of mistakes. But we're so pleased, Lord, and so blessed that we can come to you and have your guidance, to have your direction, and all we need is to pay attention and follow.
Mm.
We pray that you'd guide us and lead us through the rest of this day and through our days coming, Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk with you steadfastly and uprightly. We ask you also to bless the food that's been prepared today for this feast, that we may all enjoy it. We may have a great time of fellowship together, Lord. And let this all be through the blessings of your love. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.